Don't jump.
Good evening, everybody. This is AJ.
And Martin.
And we are here at the movies with the Midnight Movie Maniacs. We're going to do this little thing. We try it out. Where we're going to be discussing the movies that we're about to see and tell you about what we thought of them after the movie's over. So tonight's first movie is...
Gangster Squad.
What drove us here?
Well, we wanted to see this movie 6 months ago when it was first being hyped up, and then that Aurora, Colorado shooting happened, and it got delayed. So now we've been waiting all this time, so I think the hype's still there, and a lot of people have been waiting to see this. So there's a lot of excitement behind it.
It almost got pulled again for a second time because of a recent tragedy that happened. I don't remember what it was, do you?
I don't remember the tragedy, but I do remember that they considered taking it out completely.
Right, which, I mean, this movie's been plagued with drama since the get-go, which is sad.
Yeah.
Now, in preparation for this movie, we sat back and hosted a Movies at the Clubhouse, where we watched The Black Dahlia and L.A. Confidential. It doesn't really tie in too much into this movie, but they both dealt wrapped around Mickey Cohen,
right.
Which is what this movie is pretty much centralized on. So we wanted to see the surrounding world and how that was happening in relation to actual Mickey Cohen's interference and interaction with stuff. So, very excited. Who are the stars in the movie?
We'll be seeing Ryan Gosling, Josh Brolin, Emma Stone, Sean Penn, Anthony Mack, who's going to be an up-and-coming star this coming year in 2013, and then several other bit parts and pieces. Nick Nolte makes an appearance in there that's not a mainstream part, but he's in it as well. So they did bring a lot of big names to the movie, which will be exciting to see and kind of cool, and I think that's also part of the hype. We saw a lot of Emma Stone last year. We saw a lot of Ryan Gosling last year. Josh Brolin's been making a big comeback, especially with his Men in Black 3 impression of Tommy Lee Jones and things like that. So this had a lot of steam going into August last year. Getting the delay, hopefully it'll still deliver all these months later.
I think that with Josh Brolin, I mean, he's been pretty much on it since No Country for Old Men, with the exception of Jonah Hex. So I don't think, you know, we'll see anything bad coming from him on this aspect. Recently, today actually, some news was released about his casting in another geek movie that's coming out, Sin City 2, A Dame to Kill For.
Which is his second movie of 2013 that's actually comic booky related. He's also an old boy.
Right, which makes you wonder just how geek he is or how desperate for money he is.
I think this is more of a... my late age kind of acting ability. You know how they start to, I don't want to say they're old, but they've been around. They were popular in the game when they were young. He kind of had that low spell, and now he's coming back, and he's coming back in a big way, and this happens with a lot of actors. And I think it's an opportunity for him to be doing these different parts. You know, yeah, he's in comic book movies, but Old Boy is more anime, and Sin City is comic book, so there are two different things, and he's going to be playing different characters. The interesting piece for Sin City is he's taking over a part that someone else played in part one. He's taking over for Clive Owen.
Right.
So he's got to come into this part and deliver the piece that he's relating back to the first movie, but still, it's his own character as well, and I think that's going to be a challenge for him.
Makes you wonder if he's going to impersonate him as he did with Tommy Lee Jones in Men in Black 3.
Exactly, and the young Tommy Lee Jones, Josh Brolin, was impressive beyond all belief. It actually made that movie, in my opinion.
Now, while we're talking, we're actually in the theater, and a little behind the scenes for Evil Dead is out, another movie that we're very excited to see, which we talked about on the past podcast. So, yeah, excuse us while we're a little distracted. But you got to think about it, though. Josh Brolin kind of got his start in geeky movies with Goonies.
Yes.
And then he went on to a real awesome movie called Night Watch, one of my favorite horror movies, which he also starred in with Nick Nolte. So kind of like a little 6 degrees there.
Yeah, well, and Ryan Gosling and Emma Stone did a romantic comedy last year called Crazy Stupid Love that almost nobody watched.
I watched it and I actually dug it.
Yeah, I thought it was a great movie. I'm a little sappy on those rom-coms, but that's me.
Well, I just like that he shoved his junk into Steve Carell's face, you know.
Yeah, and one of the plot twists in the story and that actually came about the full circle in that movie was great. The way they began it and ended it was good.
Now, this movie's already been seen and somewhat panned from some of the critics. What are you expecting from the film and hoping to see?
Well, we watched, like we were talking about, L.A. Confidential last night and Black Dahlia, and we talked about how some of these mob movies, they have a lot of twists and turns and things like that, but a lot of them are based on historical reference material, which to me is fascinating. So when a critic says, oh, they don't like it, they don't think it's Oscar-worthy, whatever, I don't always buy into that as much. I'm expecting a story. I like the mob movies that take place around this area. I didn't grow up in an era when Goodfellas and Scarface and things like that were commonly watched in my house. I watched movies more like L.A. Confidential, Blackout. Those were coming out when I was first attending movie theaters. And those are the movies that I'm used to. So this kind of movie to me appeals more than to say going back to an old school Goodfellas or something like that.
Right. Now, again, we didn't really like Black Dahlia,
yeah.
But it was based off the James Ellroy books, Black Dahlia and L.A. Confidential both. L.A. Confidential, to me, being a more powerful and fantastic movie. What was your opinion on that?
I thought they were both visually amazing. I liked the look they gave them. Back then, you know, the late 90s, you were looking at these movies and it was a different time. It didn't look like modern day America. It was, you know, taking back eras to look at it. But the way that they brought color and vibrance to the screen on these things was really cool to me. And that drew me into it. And then the story itself. I have a big niche for history. And I, you know, as a hobby, I like to go back and read historical stories and things like that. So to me, that stuff's impressive. And now I want to go back. I went back and read the original books after I saw the movies. And then went on to read histories and stories about it. And the pieces they did fictionalize, the pieces that were related to things. That's impressive to me. So this, the way that they're going to show the LAPD taking on this East Coast mobster is impressive to me, and I've learned about it and I've read about it, so I want to see how those the history, the facts that I actually know, and how the fiction of it is going to relate from Hollywood. That's one of the exciting things to me. Plus, I also like the look, the colors again.
The noir look.
Yeah, it gives it all of the posters, if you notice, have a very centralizing thing on the character where their color on their clothes or their hair or Emma Stone's lipstick sticks out the most.
So, almost like Schindler's List.
Yeah, and so it gave it that emphasis there. But then there was a very vivid background as well that you would pick up little nuances here and there about the story from each character. So that was cool to me, and I think visually plus a historical story would be really impressive. Now, if they over-fictionalize it or they over-exaggerate it, I think that'll ruin it, and I think that could bring it down. And I think that's what critics may be saying is there was a lot of hype going into this, and then they're not going to deliver. They either overdid it or they underdid it. It's not going to just meet the typical standard for a mob movie, historical movie.
So my concern is that they show a lot of action and gunplay and everything in the trailers, and very deliberate action and gunplay. And I'm afraid that that's all there is to it. Like, the scenes that we've seen in the commercial are the only action parts that we'll see in the entire movie. And so that's my concern. Though I am curious as how, because they had to go back and reshoot a scene, the scene where they shot up the theater, and now they're bringing it into Chinatown instead. I'm curious about how that's going to play out, and wondering if they're going to include the original scene in the director's cut when it comes out on DVD.
Yeah, that's one of the things I'd like to see on the DVD. I think it was sad what happened that caused them to have to change that. And it's terrible when a movie is affected by what's happening in the world around it. But we saw around 9/11, it happened a lot. They pulled the Spider-Man trailer, things like that got taken out. And so when you lose something like that, I wonder if it does really affect the story. Or was that just a bit piece that they can change out at any point in time? It was easy to switch around.
Well, it'll be interesting to see. Either way, I'm very excited for this movie. And, yeah, so we will go ahead and take a break, and when we come back, it'll be after the movie, and we will give you a rundown on what we thought about it. So we're wrapping up the movie Gangster Squad. First impressions?
Awesome.
Really? You thought it was awesome?
I thought it was in scope of things like LA Confidential stuff. I thought way better. Definitely, it was cool to see the old 50s brought back to life. What they did, you could tell there was a lot of effort put into the look and the style of the film, which was really cool to me. Was it a solid story? No. Will it win awards? Probably not. But it was worth the price of the ticket to sit here and watch it, to rush and be here one of the first people to see it. I think it was good. A lot of laughter in the beginning of the movie and throughout the middle. It was funny to me how many people in the audience were laughing, even though we're still dealing with this. There was drama to it. There was bad things happening, and people were still, they were able to make it light and entertaining.
See, I don't hate it. I thought it was okay. That was a cool movie. However, I thought, much like along the lines of Snow White and the Huntsman, a couple of actors were putting in for their Oscars and the rest were like phoning it in. I also felt that it was very sloppy. Sloppy storytelling, sloppy editing, sloppy put together. And I was kind of right. The violence that we saw in the trailers is kind of all we got.
Yeah, we did see a lot of that. What was already in the trailers. The thing that I liked, that there was still some that we hadn't seen. there were things we hadn't seen. There were also pieces in the trailer, which goes back to your sloppy comment, that we saw in trailers and we saw in previews that weren't in the movie.
Yes, obviously there's a cut
that we didn't get to see in theaters.
And I'm seeing that emerge a lot recently, you know, where you'll see some scenes in a movie, in a trailer, but not in the movie itself. Like with Dark Knight.
Mm-hmm.
When Dark Knight came out, we saw, you know, a specific scene where he was talking to the Joker, which was not... It was in the movie, but it was shot from a different angle, and it kind of took away from the power of that scene.
Yeah.
Same here, we've seen that rolling around.
Yeah, so it looks like that there's another cut that possibly has more to it, and I think that you're right on about that. We've seen that with a lot of movies this last year, where it seems like they cut out about a half hour of it, and then 6 months later we get a DVD with an extended cut, and there's pieces that they've added back in that then help make sense of the story. And I think that's what's missing here.
Now, the Chinatown sequence, what did you think?
I think the theater would have been better. I understand why they wanted to change it, especially with the innocence of lies, but at the same time, it was the same effect. You know, what happens if some guy goes into a mall and shoots up a mall? Well, it happened. So, you know, the way that the current event affected the movie, yeah, that's sad that caused a delay for 6 months or something. That's just it's another scene that is violence that we still see today anyway.
I personally think that I'm sympathetic to the reasons behind it, mm-hmm. but let's say the reason behind it didn't happen, okay?
Right.
And I thought it was, I thought it hurt the movie. I thought the Chinatown sequence came off as weak and just not as powerful as it should have been. Having not seen the theater sequence, I can only imagine what it'd be like shooting up an entire theater,
mm-hmm.
as opposed to, you know, two guys getting injured from a car explosion.
Well, and I'm wondering, so the difference in story between that plot point and what would have happened in the theater. Obviously, what the reason that they were in the theaters, and we don't want to spoil too much, is they went to Chinatown for a specific reason. What was the reason that they would have shot it up in the theater instead of Chinatown? And so I wonder what that story carries and what that is. So hopefully that's something we get to find out later in like an extended cut or a director's cut.
Right. I think I'm more excited to see that than I am for my feeling having walked out of this movie now. I'm not saying it's bad. I thought it was a good movie. I just, on a scale of 10, I'd give it like a 7. You know, maybe a hard 6, but a soft 7.
Yeah, I'm definitely in the high 7-8 range. It's definitely not going to be my favorite movie of the year. And you know, we're only in the second week of the year, but I can already say that I've got better expectations for other movies.
Right, I think I'm kind of over this movie. I mean,
yeah. There was hype, and I was excited to see it, and I'm glad I saw it, and the hype I had coming into it wasn't met, but I wasn't disappointed.
I don't know, I think it could have been better. I saw a lot of potential in the film, but I think it could have been better, so.
Yeah. I did like, they closed the story out, they left the story out there, there was some historical facts that they changed, and some of the pieces, obviously, that they fictionalized, which was good, and helped close out the story. Interesting. But, yeah, like you were saying, there are some sloppy bits and pieces, but I'd like to see the story, maybe the original screenplay, to just see how it played out originally, as compared to what we got on the final screen, which happens a lot with movies. Yeah, I don't hold that against them. I understand that changes happen. But I would like to see a final cut at some point in time, an original cut.
Yeah, again, so I think the movie was sloppy, and I think the ending was weak. But overall, it was a good action flick, and I just, you know, and I also didn't see the point of Ryan Gosling's accent, as well as, you know, it was a weak story with him and Emma Stone.
It seemed like there was more backstory to that, and like to me, it felt like there was something about Ryan Gosling's character that we were missing, some piece of it that we just didn't get. Like they tried to give a little bit in the beginning of just how he was now, but there's a backstory they kept hinting at. Military backgrounds and things like that of all these characters, but I felt we were missing, like we needed a prequel story too, or some sort of web short that could have given us some insight into them before they became the gangster squad.
And you know what else I noticed? There was a major death, major character death, that nobody seemed to care about.
Right.
It was Dumbledore all over again. Like,
yeah.
Nobody really cared about, oh, he's dead, oh well.
Yeah, and you saw it coming. It was predictable as to what was going to happen with a lot of this movie.
I almost expected him to show up in the last scene, honestly. How weak they played it off.
Yeah.
I thought, like, he was in the hospital, he was going to roll up in the end scene and make a difference.
Yeah.
But
it did seem like they played that down a lot, and they kind of ignored that because the heavier story piece that they were trying to look at of it, and they played that piece down. There was a lot of like smaller stories that they could have told, and I think this movie, I mean, it's barely midnight, and we're already getting out of this movie, and we had 20 minutes of previews,
yeah.
And so where's my other 20 minutes? Movies nowadays come out 2 hours and 40 minutes. Zero Dark Thirty is playing over a couple of screens, and it's 2 hours and 45 minutes long.
Right.
But we all know the whole story of what happened so far in that movie. But I'd still sit there for 3 hours to watch that.
Do you think having seen L.A. Confidential last night kind of ruined us on seeing this movie?
No. I had seen L.A. Confidential several times before, and I like the look and the style of these kind of movies.
But what I mean is that L.A. Confidential is a more powerful movie, obviously. And, like, I saw it last night coming in thinking I was going to see something along the same lines.
Something that powerful. I can see what you're saying there. No, definitely not as powerful as it, but I... That's a movie I saw 10 years ago, and it doesn't affect me the same way now as seeing movies nowadays. Mm-hmm. Comparing it to L.A. Confidential, I think, is a different... not genre, but different story. I mean, it's a different level. This was obviously not on the level of L.A. Confidential, which did go on to win awards and had high-caliber actors who put in high-caliber things. Entertainment value-wise, though, both of them entertain me, and I could sit down and watch both of them again. Would I pay to see this again in the theaters? Probably not. I'll wait to get it on DVD.
Right.
But I would buy the DVD, mostly for an extended cut, but I'd also watch this again at home.
Right.
This is more entertaining than what we watched yesterday. Just because I picked apart, you know, yesterday you're sitting there, you watched the movie a dozen times, you pick it apart a little bit more. This one, I've just seen it. I've sat down.
Okay.
I'm into this one still, and this one still has an effect on me.
Let's say for me, I think I'm a little bit more upset, only because I've seen movies around Mickey Cohen, and to actually finally see a movie with Mickey Cohen as a central character, I expected more.
Now, you know? Did you expect more from Sean Penn, or more from the movie?
I think Sean Penn put on a great performance. I thought he fucking... But I think, again, you know, it's comparing, like Snow White, where Charlize Theron obviously brought her A-game to the film, while Kristen Stewart, you know, left her emotions... and whatever fucking Pandora's box she has it locked in.
Yeah.
And same here, Sean Penn brought his A-game, and I just didn't give a shit about anybody else.
He was definitely the character of the film. I thought he was really impressive. I was impressed by Josh Brolin's action sequences and his ability to fight in those
sequences. But he still looked like Tommy Lee.
Yeah, he did.
That's gonna be hard to get over. He walked out from Men in Black 3 and walked into the set of this.
Yeah, but he looked huge compared to a lot of the people he fought with, which I'm sure was a part of their planning. They cast smaller people, but they made him look like he was big and brawny.
Right.
So that was kind of... I liked that part of his character, but I didn't, you know... he didn't feel like he was fully there as Sergeant O'Mara. But Sean Penn as Mickey Cohen, I was impressed. The facial expressions when they got up close to him, the way he carried himself, the way he talked... You know, it was very good.
But his stone-faced sidekicks,
thugs, the typical henchmen.
Yeah, you know. But I will give it this. The movie started, I mean, first scene out the gate, blood and viscera. And so, you know, for that, they got the ball rolling, and I was excited to see it. But I just felt like it just didn't pay off at the end.
Yeah. Well, so. See, now, for me, at the end, I'm watching this final scenes going, oh my, what's going to happen? Who's going to die? What's going to happen? So I was still questioning a lot, and I was still kind of on the edge of my seat a little bit to see where this movie was going to go until the very end, and then I was like, oh, okay.
Right, happy story, here we go.
Done.
So there you have it.
Yeah, so I say see it.
Gangster Squad, Martin's giving it a 7 or 8,
I'll say a 7, 8.
Giving 6 or 7, so there you have it, guys. We'll see you at the next night movie. Just don't jump.